Bibles tonight, I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter number 12. Proverbs chapter 12, this will be lesson number 28 on the subject of growing. Tonight, it sounds like a very, very simple subject, and it is, though I think I'll take something and help you to maybe organize some proper thinking about the subject of tonight. I'm calling it Growing Your Desire to Do Right. Growing Your Desire to Do Right. Proverbs chapter 12, once you find it, we'll all stand together, if you will. Proverbs chapter 12, and Proverbs chapter 12, and I need to get there myself, starting with verse number 1. Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. A man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. Virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is a rottenness of the bones. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit." Verse number 5, those first few words, it says, the thoughts of the righteous are right. God is saying a right person thinks right. A right person thinks right. That verse is going to help us with the entire lesson tonight. Tonight, when I teach, as a Christian, if you really want to go to the next level in your decision-making about doing the right thing, I'll help you. Now, if you're one of those people that are always struggling between right and wrong, that's not what my lesson's about tonight. I'll explain it in a moment. But good Christians, they don't spend all their time struggling between right and wrong. They spend all their time struggling between right and right. I'll show you what I mean. Let's pray. Father, bless us tonight. Help us now to do the right thing. Holy Spirit of God, grow us, grow our thinking, grow our decision making. And Father, grow our concept, our understanding of righteousness or doing right in our lives, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat there. If you have your Bible open there to Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 5, it says, it uses these words, it says, the thoughts of the righteous are right. So the thoughts, of course, that's the way we think. And it's talking about of the righteous. Now, there are two parts to righteousness. Of course, there is the righteousness of Christ that becomes ours when we get saved. But then there is also then the righteousness of our own effort and the way we live after we get saved. And it could be talking about both here. It's talking about the way the saved think and the way the saved that want to live right think. But then it says, the thoughts of the righteous are right. The thoughts of the righteous are right. It's talking about decisions being well made. I'll put it this way. You know, you and I as Christians, we ought to do the right things right. Or doing the right things. And that better explains the whole concept of my sermon tonight. Doing the right things. Life is a series of decisions. Not all decisions are between right and wrong. When you face right and wrong, folks, just choose to do what the Bible teaches because the Bible's always right. Right and wrong, according to the Bible, is made pretty clear. Now, I want you to understand and look at me and listen. I'm not trying to hurt you and I'm not trying to offend you. But if all day long you are struggling between right and wrong, you need to grow up as a Christian. You don't have to struggle between right and wrong all day long every day. Now, you will always struggle between right and wrong. There's always going to be temptation to do wrong. But if every day, repeatedly, it's always, should I go do wrong? Should I do right? Yeah, there's something going wrong in your Christianity. You're not doing something right. But let me tell you where I think a lot of you live. I don't think most of the people in this room struggle all day long between right and wrong. Well, I do think we sometimes struggle between right and right. You know that some decisions are between good and bad. But I think for a growing, sincere Christian, most of your decisions are between good, better, and best. Right and wrong decisions are easy choices. You just do what God said, and that's the end of it. Right and right decisions are a little bit more difficult to make. Right and wrong decisions can be determined very quickly. You don't even have to decide. All you got to do is obey. Right and right decisions may take a little more calculating. And right and right decisions may take a little more plan. You've got to have a purpose. You say right and right. Well, there could be two good things between which you must make a decision. Some people don't always pick the right. For those of you who would like to go to another level in your Christianity, and I'm talking about you are not daily making all these decisions between good and bad or right and wrong, why don't you come into the realm where you've already decided to do right? You're going to repetitively do right, but now you must purify and get to the right in your life. And I don't think you're confused, but I'm going to make it simpler as the night progresses. Right and right, the decision between the right makes the difference between you accomplishing average success in your life and above average success. I mean, if there is a good, better, and best in our decision-making, if you do what is good, it's not sinful. But you know what I would prefer for you? I wish you would do the very best thing. You know, I want to give God my best. I don't want to just give God something good if I could give God something great. And so mature yourself in regard to your desire to do right. And I'll simply say before I move into this decisions between right and right, everybody here ought not be living in a realm of constant good-bad challenge in your life. I did not have a battle this week about whether or not I ought to go get stoned on cocaine. I didn't have to make that decision this week. Didn't have to make it the week before. Didn't have to make it the week before. Didn't have to make it the week before. I didn't have to make it the week before. I didn't have to make a decision this week that I wasn't tempted to go rob a bank. I wasn't tempted to go be immoral. I wasn't tempted to go immoral the week before or the week before that or the week before that. Look, you should not be living your life with a daily struggle between right and wrong where it's just repetitive. Now, the devil's going to come and he's going to tempt you. But listen, there's some of you, you'd say, you know what, preacher, I don't have those struggles all day long, every day, every week. Right, because you've grown and you more so find yourself now making little purer decisions. And so for those of you, you say, well, I'm not tempted to go get drunk all the time, and I'm not tempted to go get high all the time, and I'm not tempted to go be immoral, and I'm not tempted to be stealing and lying and cheating. Okay, you don't feel that that is something that is repetitive in your life. I'm glad now you're to the point where you've got to make the best of the good decisions in your life. That is the difference between an average Christian and an above-average Christian. And if you struggle all day long every day with good and bad, you're just a carnal Christian. But you should be growing to the point where those struggles are not daily between good and bad. But now you're going to struggle with how good am I going to be rather than am I going to be good or bad. Do you want to succeed big? Or do you want to succeed little? Both would be success. If you succeeded a little, that would be success. But look, if I came to you and said, do you want big money or little money? You would say, give me big money. If I came to you and I said, do you want to you want to accomplish big or accomplish little? You'd say, I want to accomplish big. Well, do you want to do the best in your Christian life or just get by the least? Now, you say, I got by spiritually, okay, but I don't think we think that way about all the other benefits of life. We want the best. And you know what? If you and I want the best, then don't you think God deserves the best? So, I call the sermon growing in your desire, your concept of right. For instance, I'm going to tell you what I do. I'll give you a little bit of my thinking when it comes to this thing. And when I say doing the right, I'm talking about there's more than one right thing to do. I'm not talking about a decision between right and wrong now. I'm talking about a decision between something that's right and something else that's right. How can you do the best right thing? Are you all still with me out there? Okay. Number one, when I go to make a decision like this, when I help people to make a decision, I would say you always should do the right that God has commanded you to do. Always do the right that God has commanded you to do. Listen to this verse. Psalm 19:8 said, "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." Now, here it talks about the statutes are right. You know, there are some things in the Bible that are good to do, but there are some things in the Bible that we're commanded to do. We're commanded to witness. We're commanded to go tell others about Jesus Christ. We're commanded to go soul winning. It says, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my Father's house might be full. The Bible says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. The Bible says that we're to spread the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're to spread that. Now, we are commanded to go soul winning. We are commanded to pray. We are commanded to read our Bibles. These things are not things about which we're given a choice. You know, if you want to do right, God said pray. If you want to do right, God said witness. If you want to do right, God commanded that we read the Bible. Now, but you know, there are some things that are good for us to do, but we're not maybe specifically commanded to do them. Years ago, before I even came here to be the pastor, I had a married man, had children, and he had been working in the bus ministry on Saturday. His boss was going to require him for a couple of months to work on Saturdays. This man wanted to know if he should quit his job in order to stay on his bus route. And that because we required that they were supposed to be there at a Saturday meeting and go soul winning and visit the bus route. He said, "Preacher," he said, "I don't know what to do. My boss now wants me to work a couple of Saturdays." He said, "I don't know what to do. Should I quit my job and go get another job, or should I let the bus route suffer?" Now, let me explain. He was not choosing between right and wrong. Both things were good. I mean, working a bus route's good. Supporting his family is good. Those are both good things. So he was choosing not between right and wrong. He was choosing between right and right. Now, he did not ask to work on Saturdays. They were requiring it of him. He said, "Well, what would you do?" I said, "Well, the Bible does not command you to work on that bus route on Saturday. Now, it does command you to go soul winning, but you're not commanded to work on that bus route on Saturday. But I can tell you this, you are commanded as a man, head of household. The man is commanded to attend to the needs of his house." I said, "You are commanded to have a job. You're commanded to work. But you're not commanded to visit on a bus route on Saturday." I said, "So if I were looking at it scripturally, I would say, I wouldn't quit my job because it didn't work out in a convenient way regarding when I would go soul winning." I said, "See, sir, you could go soul winning on Thursday. Or you could go soul winning on Tuesday. You are commanded to go soul winning. Now, if your boss came and said, I'm commanding you to work and you're never going to be able to go soul winning, you better quit your job. Because your boss can't supersede what your God has commanded you to do." See, the Bible commands that man to support his family. But the Bible does not say what day that man is supposed to go soul winning. Does that make sense to you? So here he faced a decision. And he needed to do the right. Now me, I'm the pastor. I love the bus ministry. I could have said, "Hey, yeah, quit your job and get out there and visit so you can bring people into the church." The only problem is I don't think I would have been necessarily giving him the best advice. Now, If he would have chosen to quit his job, that would have been his prerogative. But he happened to ask me, and I said, I'm not sure that's the best decision here. But either decision he would have made would have been right. They're both right decisions. But when you're faced with two rights, always pick the one that God commands you to do. A child is commanded to obey their parents. Now, if that child is faced with the choice of obeying his parents or obeying the babysitter, he better obey his parents first. Say, why? That's the command. Oh, and I think it's a good thing to obey the babysitter. And every babysitter in here says, amen, preacher. Want them kids to obey. But I'll tell you, if you had to choose between obeying dad and obeying the next door neighbor, you better obey dad. Why? Because that's what you're commanded to do. We always do what we're commanded to do as the priority. And these are not decisions between good and bad. These are decisions between good and good. These are not decisions between right and wrong. I'm talking about decisions between right and right. We always obey the higher power. A woman is faced with a decision. Her husband tells her not to go to church on Sunday. Oh, but wait a minute. God commands that she go to church on Sunday. Did you know a woman submitting to her husband is a good thing? But wait, going to church is a good thing. But what does God command her to do? Go to church on Sunday. Who's the higher power? God. Now, if her husband said, I don't want you to go to church on Thursday, go to that soul winning meeting. Okay. She might need to say, okay, I'll go soul winning on Tuesday. But see, God commands that church attendance. Anytime I make a decision between two right things, I ask myself, which one does God command me to do? And if you'll think that way, remember, if you're spending all your time at the lower level of Christianity, should I get high? Should I stay sober? Should I steal? Should I be honest? Should I be immoral or should I be moral? You're living at the bottom of the level of Christianity. Your struggles in life ought to be, which good thing will I do? And if you'll get there, that does not mean you're not going to have some right and wrong struggles, but you should not live all day long every day with right and wrong struggles. We ought to be looking at what is the very best of the best that I can do. What is the goodest of the goodest in my life? Okay, so number one, do the right that God has commanded. Number two, when I'm looking at a decision between two good things or two right things, I do this. I do the right that God has chosen for my life. Luke chapter 2, verse 49, it says, and he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wish you not that I must be about my Father's business? Now, in this passage of Scripture, Jesus, as a lad, as a little boy, had been separated from Mary and Joseph. And in this passage, Jesus says, he says this, and he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wished you not that I must be about my Father's business? What had happened is Mary and Joseph had gotten separated from Jesus. When they found him, they asked him about where he had been. They had been separated, and he said, I've been about my Father's business, which, by the way, proves to you Joseph was not the true father of Jesus. God, the Father, was the father of Jesus. But Jesus said to them, when they inquired, he said, I've been about my Father's business. What's this telling? Jesus was doing the will of God for his life. He was doing specifically what he had been chosen to do. Folks, when you're faced with a choice between two right things, you should ask yourself, which right involves that to which God has called you? Okay, let me explain this. I believe God's called me to be a pastor. I think God wants me to pastor. I think God wants me to pastor the Twin Rivers Baptist Church. When I face a decision between right and right, I ask myself, which right best fits that which God has called me to do? Now remember, I've always got to do what God commands. That was my first point. Now I'm facing a decision about a couple of different rights, and I know that God has called me to be a pastor. And of course, God's will for my life is always going to be scriptural, what God commands. Okay, but how about this? I receive invitations to speak out. I'll get an invitation. It wasn't long ago. Someone from the Philippines called me and said, would you come and speak for us for a couple of weeks over here? Now, I could do that. That wouldn't be a wrong thing to do. That wouldn't be sinful for me to go there. But you know what I do? Right now, here's how I feel about it. I was called to pastor this church, and I don't want to be gone from this church for 2 weeks where I could not do what God called me to do. Now, I'm not against it. If a pastor goes to the mission field for a week or two, I don't think he's done anything wrong. I'm using this by way of illustration. Did you know that I could travel every Wednesday night if I wanted? I could be gone every Wednesday night and go somewhere and preach. Just today, I talked to a pastor. He said, I'd love to have you come Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at such and such time. I said, you know what? I'd love to come Monday and Tuesday. He said, how about Wednesday? I said, I'm a pastor. I've got a church to pastor. I'm going to be there. They have to fly me back and get me back in time for Wednesday night church. I'm never going on Sundays. I could go on Sundays. I could travel all I want on Sundays. You say, well, why don't you do that? Because God called me to pastor this church. Now, I've got two goods. Is it good for me to go and preach in California? Is it good for me to preach in Canada? Is it good for me to go to England and preach? That's good. But wait a minute. Which good is the one that God called me to do? The good that God called me to do is to pastor the Twin Rivers Baptist Church. So I'm not going to mess up the good that God called me to do to go do another good. I know men that have the opportunity to travel and their churches are falling apart because they travel so much. They're out helping other churches while their church at home, they can't seem to get it to grow. Now, are they doing something bad by traveling? Well, I don't know that they're doing something bad. They might be doing the weaker good. Does that make sense to you? So you say, what's your commitment? My commitment is that unless I'm on vacation or in jail, I'll be here on Sunday, and I'll be here on Wednesday. Why? Because that's what God specifically has called me to do. Both are right. I want to choose the rightest of the two rights. You know, many right things can clamor for your time. Choose the right that fits into the Father's business that He's given you. Okay, I think a woman's main call in life is to be a helpmeet to her husband. She should work. You say, wonder if she wants to be in the nursing home ministry. Nothing wrong with the nursing home ministry. I think that's a good ministry. Now, I think a woman, it'd be great if she was involved in a nursing home ministry, but if she could not be in the nursing home ministry and meet her husband's need all at the same time, she needs to quit the nursing home ministry. You say, why? God never commands her to be in the nursing home ministry. And God's priority call in her life is to be there for her husband. That comes first. Now, is being in a nursing home ministry bad? No. Is that the priority calling of that married woman? No. I've watched women actually in the ministry give more to their ministry than to their husband and to their children. And just so you know, that's not a woman's priority. A woman's priority is her husband and her children. And I know you say, you're old-fashioned. Thank you. I've worked a long time to think this way. Don't plan to change it anytime soon. You say, well, you're rubbing the donkey the wrong way. Well, turn the donkey around, bud. So, when I'm seeing two right things, I'm going to choose, first of all, to do the one that God commands. Secondly, I want to choose the right thing that falls in order with what God has called me to do. Sunday school teachers, I believe that's something that God, that's a ministry God has given you. And if it's something that God's given you, be careful to let something that would be a secondary good take the place of your primary good in regard to your ministry. Hey, teaching the Word of God, that's a big deal to me. Now you say, well, instead of being at Sunday school, I was going to stand down here and pass out some tracts at Walmart on Sunday morning. There's only one problem with that. God called you to be a Sunday school teacher. You need to be doing what God called you to do when He called you to do it. Go pass out tracts at Walmart on Thursday afternoon, but not Sunday morning when you were supposed to be in your Sunday school class. You see, there are a lot of people. There are people in here right now. I think you're out of the will of God, and I'll tell you why. It's not because you're doing wrong. You're not doing the best right. You feel pretty good about the fact that you're not doing wrong. when you ought to be feeling bad about the fact you're not doing the best right. You want to be used of God? You got to do the right, right. You're a very base Christian if it's right and wrong, right and wrong, right and wrong, right and wrong, right and wrong. You're not supposed to be struggling with that all day long, every day. You should have grown up a little bit by now. Your struggle ought to be between the right and right. And you ought to want to do the right is right, the good is good, the best is best. All right, let's go on. Everybody's okay, right? All right, number three. When I'm trying to decide between right things, the third thing I do, I'll do the right that is mentioned the most in the Bible. Somehow I think if God is repetitive about something, he's probably repetitive because he definitely wanted that on my mind. He's kind of putting it on the top of my list. Mrs. Owens is the same way. If she says, could you take that trash out? And I'm thinking on it or praying on it. If she says, could you take that trash out again? If she says a third time, could you take that trash out? I'm getting the idea that I probably ought to take that trash out. God repeats himself, which he's trying to add an insistence, a priority. He's trying to add power or strength to that one thing. So if you've got two right things, why don't you ask yourself, which one does God seem to continually insist upon? For instance, Mark 16:15 says, and he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Did you know soul winning is one of the most mentioned commands in the Bible? Over and over and over again, the Bible talks about our reaching people, reaching people, reaching people, reaching people, helping people, helping people, helping people. Now, wait a minute. Fellowship with God's people is mentioned in the Bible too, but not near as much as soul winning. If you're ever faced with two things that are right, do the one that is most emphasized. Here's what I mean. All right. It's Saturday, 10 a.m. Brother Nofsinger runs a soul winning ministry. You have a choice. Saturday, 10 a.m., go fellowship at Waffle House with some Christians. That's a good thing. Or go soul winning like you usually do Saturday at 10 a.m. You say, well, that's a good thing. Which of the two good things does God insistent, consistent, repetitively insist upon? Soul winning. So it's two good things, but I'm going to do the one that God most frequently insists upon. Prayer is mentioned in the Bible. Matter of fact, prayer is mentioned a large number of times in the Bible. Exercise is mentioned in the Bible once. Yeah, there's somebody saying, I'm glad. I like where this is going. Oh. Prayer is mentioned over and over and over again. Do you know there are people, though, will get up in the morning and bump their prayer time to go and exercise? Well, wait a minute. God says, pray, 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 over and over and over and over and over again. Now, is exercise bad? No. Is exercise good? Yes. Is exercise mentioned in the Bible? Yes. How often? Once. But there are people that will put exercising before they'll put prayer, and they've chosen the wrong right. They've chosen the weaker of the rights. If you want to be a good Christian, you're going to have to learn to pick the right right. You're going to have to learn to get the best, not just the better, and not just the good. Sometimes we just run into something and say, well, it's not sinful. Okay, it's not sinful. Is that how you qualify every decision in life? It's just not sinful. How about it is the highest quality, highest level, most spiritual thing that I could possibly do? Or would you rather not think that way? Maybe you like living there. I just got to get over the line so I'm not doing wrong. Is that what you want your kids to do when they're away from you? All I want to do is just get over the line so I'm not doing wrong. I'll walk along the line and I'll get as close to wrong as I can. But if somebody says, you're close to wrong, you say, but I'm not doing wrong. Ha ha ha. Woohoo! I'm not doing wrong. No, you want your kids to do the rightest, right that they can do. If you say, your child says, well, I got a D minus. I didn't fail. Do you say, it's cool. D minus, fine. Now, what do you want? You want an A if they can get an A. Don't you think if you're a parent and you can have that expectation on your earthly child that your heavenly Father looks down and says to you, knock off this junk of deciding between F's and D's and decide to do your best. Give me everything you've got. And some of you are very weak Christians and you make some very weak decisions and you're very satisfied with just stepping over the line and being right on the verge of right and wrong. Oh, but I'm not wrong. But I'm not wrong. Is that where you live? I'd rather live with good, better, best, and do the very best thing for my God. Let's go on. So, this is what I said. I said, when I'm trying to grow in right doing, I do the right that the Bible commands. If I'm trying to grow in right doing, I do the right that would have something with what God has chosen for my life, the will of God for my life. Then I do the right that is most mentioned in the Bible. Then the next thing I do, if I want to do the right, the best of the best, I want to do the one that helps the most people. This helps me make decisions. Luke 9, verse 59 and 60 says, and he said unto them, it says, and he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Now, let me explain. Someone said, Jesus said, we're going to go and we're going to evangelize the world. Someone said, let me go back and go to a funeral. And Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. Come and help me with the living. Here's what's being taught. There's nothing wrong with burying a loved one. But you know, you can help more people by helping the living than helping the dead. Jesus is not minimizing the importance of a funeral here. He's trying to say to someone, you can help more people while they're alive than attending to the dead. And that was what Jesus was trying to teach. Folks, ask yourself this question. When you're trying to decide between two good things, which one helps the most people? Sunday, I was at the hospitals, and I make hospital calls. Tuesday I was at the hospital for 3 or 4 hours. But Sunday night, I was at the hospital, and you know something? It was right before our Sunday evening service, and I was at the hospital, and I was visiting with someone that used to be here in our church, and I'd talked to them, and we had prayed, and I'll tell you what, I think I was helping them, and we were making some progress, and I really felt like maybe they were coming back toward God. And I looked at my watch, and I thought, you know what? There's 60, 70 people that expect me to be over at the church. I had to make a decision. Do I help one, or do I show up at church and help 70? Now, was it right to help one? Yes. Was it righter to show up and help 70? Yes. I chose to help as many people as I could. Folks, if you're a good Christian, you're going to spend your life deciding between many right things. I want you to get the very best out of life. I want to help as many people as I can. A bus worker could choose to be faithful to bus visitation on a Saturday and visit dozens of people on their bus route. Or they could say, you know what, instead of going on bus visitation on Saturday, I'm going to go mow a yard for someone as a good deed. Okay, let's calculate this. Help one person mow a yard. Help dozens by showing up at your scheduled bus visitation. Which is the right? Go visit and help dozens of people. Why? Well, first of all, you could go mow the yard on Tuesday. So many times we do what we want to do instead of doing the very best thing. Because we tend to be carnal and fleshly. And the lower down this scale you get, the more carnal, fleshly, and self-centered you get. Some want to live right there between right and wrong. You really ought to be heading all the way toward right, doing the rightest right as you can. Okay, let me give you another help between the rights of life. If I have to make a decision between two good things, I will choose the one that requires me specifically. And I'm not saying that in a vain way. It's just there are some things. Look, if there was something that God required of a dad, then David Steed has children. He's their dad. And there's sometimes it takes him to do what God called a dad to do. Not somebody else can't do that for you. So as a pastor, there are some things that require me to do them because of what I am or who I am. In John 5:36, it says, "But I have greater witness than that of John. The same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me." And this is Jesus talking about him doing his job that God had sent him to do. You know, there are some things in life that Jeff Owens specifically is to do because it was given to Jeff Owens to do. Others can't do those things. I need to choose the things that need me for them to be done right, okay, as pastor. So, you know, I'm to give myself to prayer. I'm to give myself to Bible study. You are to come to this church service and to get something out of it. And to walk away saying, "Phew, I was challenged. I learned something from that." That's my job. It is my job. I am to study for my sermons. Did you know nobody can study for my sermons for me? I have to do that. You can't do that for me. So I must give myself to that. Okay. Thank God for Brother Mike Armstrong. Brother Mike helps to attend to the grounds. He mows and trims and keeps things taken care of. I don't do that. Now, it wouldn't be wrong if I did that. But I'll tell you what. If I had to do that, and if I had to clean the building, and if I had to do everything else, then I wouldn't be able to give myself to prayer and Bible study and preparing myself for church. Well, look, there are some things that are insistent that the pastor does it. So I have to look at two duties. And though I don't mind mowing grass, I don't mind Mrs. Owens mowing grass. But if I had to choose between something that Brother Mike could do and something that I specifically am the one that was chosen by God to do it, I better let Brother Mike attend to the grass so I can attend to the scripture and prayer and a program that helps the church to be successful. And again, I'm not trying to be critical of some pastor out yonder, but I'll tell you something. I watch some pastors that are so busy mowing the grass, they can't preach their way out of a wet paper bag, and their people come in and are bored stiff while they sit in a church service, but the grounds are beautiful. I'd rather have a crummy yard and have a revival service going on in the church house because the Word of God is being taught and preached in such a way that people are growing and they're excited about the Word of God than they're excited about how pretty the grass is mowed. Does that make sense to you? There's some things that require me. Mom, there are some things that a mom does that somebody else can't do for them. Dads, there are some things that dads do that somebody else can't do for them. Husbands, there are certain things that ought to be done as a husband that somebody else can't do. Wives, there are certain things that have to be done by the wife. Hey, Sunday school teachers, there are certain things. Hey, the boss, there are certain things that a boss of a business does that others wouldn't necessarily do. And you've got to make sure that the things you specifically are to do get done. Leaders have to learn to choose the right thing and require that of themselves. Let me go on, because I've got a couple more of these and I want to get to them. When I'm trying to decide between right and right, remember, I'm not going to spend my life living in the realm of right and wrong. Now, that I'm going to have some right and wrong decisions. That's going to happen to all of us. But we ought to spend most of our time deciding between which right thing I'm going to do, not whether I'm going to do right or wrong. Now that I've got to decide between the rights, I'm giving you some guidelines as how do I decide the very best right thing to do. This is rough. I don't choose the right that I enjoy, but I choose the right that is my duty. Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." I'm very sad that the word duty doesn't mean much to people anymore. We have a duty to God. You say, "Well, I just don't feel like it." Well, tough. Do what's your duty then. America is so motivated and moved on emotion today that we're spastic in our Christianity. Why don't we just do what's our duty to do? It's our duty to do it. Duty's not based on enjoyment. Duty's based on requirement. I don't do the right that I want to do. I do the right that is best for me to do. I am choosing between two rights. I don't allow myself to pick the one that will be most fun or pleasant to me. I pick the one that will be most productive for God. If you've got to choose between two rights, pick the one that's going to accomplish the most for God. Pick the one that is your duty to do. I want God to get pleasure out of what I choose more than that I get pleasure out of what I choose. Our lives are to be lived for God. And I, look, choose the dutiful right, not just the delightful right. You see a difference? Two things that need to be done. Pick the one God would want. Pick the one most predictable, most productive for God. You say, "But I sure would like this one." Don't do what you like, do what God would like. That's responsibility. By the way, that's maturity. That's adulthood. Nothing wrong with certain things. You know, men, we're out here manhandling a bunch of things on the property. Would there be nothing wrong with you men staying in and stirring mashed potatoes with the ladies? It's not a sin for you to stir mashed potatoes with the ladies. But you'd think that inside yourself would be something duty-driven that said, "I need to take on the bigger task. I need to get out there where the challenge is. I need to be where it takes gut and brawn and strength and power. That's where I need to be involved." Now, would there be anything wrong with light duty? No, as long as it's duty. But if I were a truck, I wouldn't want to be light duty. I'm all right. I'm heavy duty, brother. Look, with God, let's do the right that is our duty to do. So there are many rights. You got to pick the right right. And I'm not trying now to keep you away from sin. I'm trying to keep you away from laziness. I'm not trying to keep you away from wickedness. I'm trying to get you to the ultimate in righteousness. And if you want to live your life just teetering between right and wrong, go ahead. But you're never going to have victory. You're never going to conquer. What you ought to be doing is daily looking at the levels of right and pushing yourself up the ladder to do the rightest right. Go as far as you can toward God, not staying on the border. I'll give you one more and we'll be done. You're wore out. If you're going to choose between rights, choose the one, most of the time, choose the one that is your regular routine schedule. Your regular routine schedule. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, "To everything there's a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven." It says there's a time for everything. What that's teaching schedule your life. Have a time for everything. Are you a business owner? If so, let me recommend something to you. I'd have a time to start work. I watch all sorts of people that, "Well, I don't work for myself. Why? So I can do what I want. Go where I want." If you're going to want to have food to eat and money to pay your bills, it might be a good idea to have a time to go to work. Schedule, there's to be a time for everything. If I have a regularly scheduled responsibility, most all the time, I do that rather than do something else good that popped up. It popped up. I don't let surprise rights replace my scheduled rights. I don't let surprise potential goods keep me from doing scheduled specific goods. See, I let my schedule be my dictator. It's my friend. Some of you are friendless. You don't have a schedule that tells you how to succeed. Successful people live by schedule. They use their day. They use their time properly. If your Sunday school class decides to have a party on Sunday night at 6 p.m., but you're a choir member, if I were you, I'd go to choir. You say, why? You do that 52 weeks a year. And we don't let Sunday school classes conflict with regular duties. But if it did, you say, which one do I do? The regular, scheduled, successful mandate of your life. You should live by schedule and let your schedule make many decisions for you. For instance, I think Sunday school ought to be on your schedule. I think church, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, I think that ought to be on your schedule. Therefore, you shouldn't let something pop up and bump out the best good because of a secondary good. Get your regular routine down. Brother Elswick, when he was in high school, Brother Elswick scored 1,000 points playing basketball in his high school career. They came to him. He went to a Christian school. They came to him and they had an all-star game in the panhandle. And they said, we want you to come and play in the all-star game because you scored 1,000 points in your high school career. He was a senior. You know what he said? He said, when's the game? They said, it's Sunday night. He said, can't do it. They said, why? He said, I go to church Sunday night. But I go to church every Sunday night. Been going to church for a long time. They said, can't you change that? He said, well, can't you change the ball game? Church is more important than the ball game. I'm going to go to church. I'm not going to play in the ball game. Why? It's the right. Is there anything wrong with him playing ball? No. Now, if you ever seen him, he wasn't so hot. But what did he do? He let the prominent, commanded right take prominence in his decision making. Now, if he would have gone and played, would we tarred and feathered him? No. But we would have known it was a weak decision. Was it a decision of wickedness? Well, not necessarily. Way too many people make weak, right decisions. Some of you are backslidden right now. I'll tell you why. Weak, right decisions. Backslidden. You say, well, how? I thought you said it wasn't sinful. You're just not what you could be. You have slidden away from the top level of Christianity you could achieve in your life because you make weak, good decisions. Your success in the Christian life will be determined not by just choosing right and wrong, but it's by choosing the best right. What little success I've experienced in my Christianity has not come because I spent my life deciding between right and wrong. You know what? I was 16 and 17 years of age, and I was told between right and wrong in the Bible, and I decided I'll do right. So I haven't spent most of my life deciding between right and wrong. I've spent most of my life deciding between right and right. I just want to pick the best right. I think too many preachers get off track. Say, with what? Lesser rights. They get off on rabbit. You ever heard of preach on rabbit trail? They're chasing. And by the way, what they're doing is a good thing. Not the best thing. It is not the thing. Preachers will come to me and they say, preacher, I can't get my church going. And it is what they always say. In this day and age, you just can't get the church going. I've heard that so many times. On the inside, it turns my stomach to hear them say that. They're just looking for an excuse. So I say, well, what are you doing? And they'll give me about 10 things, none of which are the priority things that make a church go. Now, are they doing wrong things? No. Are they doing the best right things? No. Are they sinning? No. Are they being productive? No. And there's some of you. Are you sinning? No. Are you doing wrong? No. Are you productive in your Christian life? No. You're just not doing the rightest right. Clean, decent, righteous, unproductive people. It is really quiet in here, so we're all the way at the end of this point. Decisions are not always right and wrong. Don't live there. When right and wrong comes up, do right. Period. That's it. Get past it and let's go on. Now what are we going to do? I'm going to spend my life figuring out the rightest right, the most productive right, the most scriptural right, the right that insists upon me, the right that is my duty to do. You know, if someone's not saved, the best decision to make is get saved. That's the best decision to make. Listen to this verse. It says, the thoughts of the righteous are right. That's a very interesting verse to me. That's where I get the whole concept that I'm teaching you. Saved people now need to find the rightest right and do it. I promise you, this whole series is on growing. Time for some of you to grow past all day long struggles between right and wrong. Time for some of you to start picking between good, better, and best. Stop being satisfied with just being within inside the realm of good. A lot of lame Christians right there. A lot of them. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. If you've listened tonight, you've learned something about right and wrong and decision making and growing yourself. Growing yourself. If you spend all your time thinking about your husband, all your time thinking about your wife, all this time thinking about your kids, I wish you would have been thinking about you. You. Who here tonight would say, I believe I need to grow in my concept, my understanding of right. And you would raise your hand and say, I've got some growing to do. I need to start making the rightest right decision, not just being satisfied with it not being bad. Grow up, Christian. You may put your hand down. If you need the altar, it will be open. Hey, if you're unsaved, if you die tonight, you're not sure you go to heaven, won't you let us take a Bible and show you how to be born again? If you're a Christian, and if you're battling, if you're constantly battling between right and wrong, you ought to get down here and get on your knees and say, God, I need to get past this. I need to stop spending every day just dealing with right and wrong, and I've got to get to the point where I'm making the rightest right decision rather than between sin and good all day. You need the altar. It will be open. The pianist will begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. The rightest right. The best of the best. Don't you come and pray and say, God, I just don't want to do something good. I want to do the best that I can do. I'll tell you what. When you go to investing your money, if I was your stockbroker and I said, well, let's just waste it, you'd say, no way. Okay, that's sin. I could come to you and say, okay, I could tell you something that's just a little better than wasting it. How about that? Wouldn't be wrong to put your money there. Oh, but I've got a way for you to really multiply your money, and it's safe. You'd say, give me the safe multiplication. Well, that's what you do with your money. You wouldn't want your money just above loss. If I said I can get you 10% return, or I can get you 0.1% return, both is a return, you'd say, give me the 10%. I don't want to take all the way that minimum amount of 0.1% return. Why is it you do that with your money, but you won't do that with your life? Why would you do that with your money, but you would not do that for God? Do the rightest right. This is bad English, but do the goodest good. The bestest best. You'll not regret it. Some of you need to stop wasting so much time deciding between right and wrong. You say, wasting time? Deciding between right and wrong? Yeah, why should there be a waste of time? Just do right. Don't debate right and wrong. Just do right. Now, take some time and figure out the best of the best. The right and wrong ought to be an immediate decision. I will do right. I will obey the Bible. I will do what God commands me to do. I'm not going to wonder about whether I'll do right or wrong. This is the last time through the song. Ushers, if you'll prepare the prayer sheets, we'll run through them very quickly. God bless you, folks. Have a seat real quick.